Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is sponsored by ChampionshipBreeders.com. Championship Breeders is a proud supporter of the American Kennel Club, our specialty and all breed clubs, our dog sports, and the gifts of therapy and service from our canine companions. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk, Betty Ann Stenmark. Now we're going to take a full about turn, and we're going to talk about the Harvest Moon Cluster.
Yes.
From which you have just retired as show chair for how many years?
After 70 consecutive shows. Plus 12 Skylines.
Yes.
Yes. Four independent national specialties. So my show chairman days.
Done.
I've done enough, I think.
Well, and we can kind of segue a little bit with the mentorship talk. So you brought in a new show chair.
No, not really.
Okay.
So it began, I am filing away old Del Valle stuff at the moment, putting it in the archives, and I found the last AOA match premium list, which I personally typed, dated June 1978.
Wow.
And that was the second AOA match. We had had, I think I chaired a couple of BOBs. And so Del Valle grew up, and nobody knew who we were, and no AKC person ever came, and what is that club out there on the West Coast? So anyway, we just kept at what we were doing, and it was a nice group of people. And then in 1990, the first animal rights-inspired anti-breeding law happened in San Mateo County, the unincorporated area of San Mateo County, which is where we had just finished our house and moved into. And I woke up on the morning of my birthday, October 26, 1990, to the news that there would be no purposeful breeding of purebred dogs and cats in San Mateo County until the Peninsula Humane Society had zero pet overpopulation.
Oh my.
And with that, the Board of Supervisors were going to pass an ordinance to this effect. So that morning, Responsible Dog Breeders of San Mateo County was born. And, of course, I headed that up.
Imagine that, Dan.
I don't know how. And this great group of people came along, Linda Souza being one of them. She lived on Kings Mountain, too, with her Limerick Irish Wolfhounds. I met Sandra Hickson, who was this girl with Akitas, called Sandra Pertari, living in San Bruno. And we put our group together by having MBF pull the mailing list from the zip codes of unincorporated San Mateo County. And we sent out a mailing, and we called for a public meeting, and we were all there. And me, as the founder of the Responsible Dog Breeders of San Mateo County, that had been around for 5 minutes, I got to speak at the first public hearing. But anyway, from that fight, which we ultimately won, this group was formed. We'd fought a battle together, and that became Skyline Dog Fanciers. AKC thanked us by licensing it.
Nice.
Skyline had shows at San Mateo Expo Center that were lovely. It was a big facility. I was on the San Mateo Fair Board then, which was the county-owned facility, and it was great until the rents at San Mateo became so high it became impractical to hold a show there. So Skyline didn't have a home, and they looked around for a couple of other situations and tried a couple of things, and that didn't seem to work out. So it seemed natural, because so many members of Skyline were also Del Valle members, and it had become obvious that Del Valle had to do something, because this mammoth day of specialties on Saturday and this huge all-breed show on Sunday no longer worked. There wasn't the interest in driving all those miles to show on Sunday. That used to be 3,400 dogs, which supported the Saturday's specialties. So this became the Harvest Moon Classic, and it's been a wonderful marriage. It's a great group of people. There's no talk behind. There's nobody criticizing another. Whoever has a job does it. They screw up. Somebody will say, hey, could we help you with that next time? But along the way, it became obvious to me as I grew older, and I was getting tired. Del Valle had driven my life for 35 years. So each person mentored another. No one was a committee chair who didn't have an assistant.
I love that.
And that person, well, who knows, who's going to break their leg tomorrow and not be at the dog show? And those jobs are important. And every job with that huge weekend was a mammoth job. So somebody better know how to do it. So that has worked out beautifully. And I had Sandra Hickson as my assistant show chair after Roy had passed away. Mm-hmm. We used to do it together. And Linda Souza was president of Skyline with Ryan Horvath, who was also mm-hmm. a Del Val member, involved. And he had show chaired some Dachshund specialties mm-hmm. when he was younger. And this whole group came along. So when I decided that I had to do something else with my life other than have it driven by Del Val, Linda had also retired and she had no interest in judging. And she said, you know, I have the time. I would love to do it. So Linda has been a fabulous successor to me. She gives me great compliments of how difficult it is to follow. Believe me, she has no trouble following my shoes. And the wonderful thing about Linda is she has great people skills, because a lot of it is you're a volunteer coordinator as a show chairman. That's all you are. And every person in the dog show is volunteering their time to put the dog show on for their fellow exhibitors. And there's a lot of problems. There are a lot of people all head up. It's new. They don't know what they're doing. They come running to you. They've forgotten to order a table that morning. And the same things happen over and over again. And the person in charge has to be able to say, sure, we can help you. Or if they have a problem, that's really interesting. Let me think about it. And we'll see what we might do about that in the future. And you diffuse the anxiety and the anger and the upset. And you want those exhibitors to come back next year. They don't want to have the experience like, they treated me horribly. I'm never going to that dog show again. Because without an exhibitor, you don't have a dog show. You know, the judging panel can be wonderful. The show can be lovely. Everything can be great. But if they don't come, you're fried. There's no way to continue.
So as a show chair, breaking down those jobs.
Yes.
And thinking about, okay, here's your compartment, and here's your compartment, yes. and here's your compartment. Do you have a good way to assign people to those compartments? I mean, do you match people's personalities? How do you manage that?
Each person seems to have an interest in some aspect of putting on the dog show. And the people who aren't really doggy, like you and me, they're the perfect person to host the lunch, to take the tickets when people come through the door, welcome guests, help with that. Selling catalogs is a job for people who can no longer walk. One meeting a few years ago, I stood up and I said, I don't mean to offend anybody, but if you can't walk and lift, I have nothing for you during the setup days. But it's true. It's hard labor. And so we do match people. But what I've always done is asked people, anybody interested in doing the flowers? Nancy has retired. She no longer wants to do it. Is there somebody who'd love to do it? Well, someone sticks their hand up, and then another says, I'd love to help you. So there you have your flower and decoration committee done. Mm-hmm. And the same thing applies to other jobs like catalog ads, which are now a thing of the past, so you have to get past that. That person has to find a new job, mm-hmm. although there's still a little bit to it. Ring stewards, we find using the Professional Ring Stewarding mm-hmm. Association the best thing to do.
And California has such a wonderful group of ring stewards.
Oh, it
is.
Do.
You are so blessed. We don't always have that in right. other places.
Yep, I know. And, you know, we supplemented people wanting to judge need opportunities to ring steward. We're always happy to take people on for that. Our job is to service the purebred dog community and help everybody we can. One of the things as a show chairman I feel adamant about is when you assign a job to somebody, don't micromanage them. Give them the job, their responsibility. If they need help, they know they can ask for it, and you leave them be. And if, mm-hmm. as a show chairman, I got a question about somebody, what do I do about such and such? I say, I don't know, but here's who you need to talk to, and they're in charge. So not stepping on other people's toes has ended up being really one of the secrets of a very well-run show. Everybody knows their job, and that has worked. So after the show, we then say, anybody want to switch jobs? Is there something else you want to do? And at the moment, we have a young 27-year-old who is a really good dog person who's joined the club, is really interested in learning the whole thing. And I look at him and think to myself, 20 years from now, you're going to be the show chair.
Right.
Which, that's what we need.
Right.
And you can't just delegate people to the parking lot and running the unloading loops, because they're there because they love the dog show. And if they never see the dog show, they're not going to stay as a member.
Membership and drawing membership and growing your club's membership.
That's a hell of a problem.
Right. And I think we all struggle with it. So I'm asking your advice because clearly you have done a pretty good job with that.
Well, probably 20 years ago, we sent out an invitation to everybody that was an active exhibitor who lived in DelVal's jurisdiction. Would they like to come to a club meeting and meet us? We had drinks, we had food, we had 7 people show up. And from that, 2 people joined. They lasted 3 years. So I don't recommend
that. Okay, so that one didn't work. Next.
That one didn't work. You know, it ended up, there's a lot of people who want to judge. And a lot of people say to me, how do I get an assignment? And I said, you need to join a club, work, and you come to know people. And you've sat at dinner and somebody there as a judge is also a show chairman. And they remember that nice person they talked to who just been approved for a breed. And they invite you to judge their dog show. That has helped
networking,
a lot.
Networking, basically.
Absolutely. And people who solicit for assignments even today, that it's allowed, that just, there's something very offensive about it. I'll never quite get to that. But I think if you work and you're part of the dog show community, people realize, she just got Salukis. That show of yours has huge Saluki entries. What about asking her to come and judge? That's how it works.
Right.
You've paid your dues.
Imagine that, paying your dues.
Yes, imagine. You know, I really feel very strongly that the dog show community has to stop taking. And once a year, you take the time off, you leave your dogs at home, somebody else looks after them, you take some vacation days, which I've done for all my life. A week of my vacation was the DelVal vacation, not...
Vacation, you work harder that week than you do all year.
Exactly. But you have to do this or there will be no dog shows. I remember the sporting group club I judged for a few years ago. I think the youngest member was 82.
Oh, jeez.
The lady who took us to the airport, I'm amazed I'm still here talking to you. I thought we were all going to die. But here were these wonderful people still putting on their dog show with no help.
Right.
That's shocking.
Right.
So to me, you love this sport, you owe it to your fellow exhibitor, take the weekend off, join a club, work.
I think that is a very important message, actually. And it boggles the imagination to me. I've been a national specialty chair. I am actually now show chairing our Albreed Club.
Very good.
No, yes, it's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time.
It's a real juggle.
It is a real job. But I think it is amazing to me as I watch the people that are saying, no, I couldn't possibly, no, I couldn't possibly, no, I couldn't possibly. I'm like, really?
Yes, I don't have time. Well, I had a full-time job. I ran DelVal for donkey's years, had my own dogs at home, had a breeding program and a full-time job. And yes, you find time. Because if you have time to groom your dogs and take them to the dog show, excuse me, you have time to help.
Right. And one of the things that I thought was amazing is just kind of watching that Harvest Moon Classic sort of blossom. So going back to that, adding the specialties, growing the specialties, doing those things, what did you see, what did you find that was the most useful in sort of growing that event?
Specialties. Mm-hmm. We started out, we were just an ordinary all-breed club with the Chabot College as our grounds, which we were limited to 1,000 dogs. And the head of the college announced he didn't want any dogs peeing on the lawn. We went, right.
Okay.
So anyway, I had watched Santa Clara and I'd watched Sir Francis Drake. And they had specialties. And there were, in those days, the AKC was adamant that shows had to be held in their territory. So I sent letters out to every specialty that would qualify to have a show on our grounds. And we were lucky when Eden Kennel Club folded and Sydney Good then realized they'd sold their equipment and we acquired the Pleasanton Fairgrounds.
Okay.
That was in 1983. So suddenly we had a beautiful set of grounds to use. And the specialties came, we let them have input into their judge. It's a huge mistake to assign a judge that exhibitors in that breed haven't picked that they really want to show to. You cannot dictate that. You can do it within some realms of, if somebody's a novice and they've picked someone in your heart you know is not going to draw for them, you can tactfully suggest something else. But they have to be able to have input into the panel. If you have a specialty on a weekend, you better have the right judge on Friday and the right judge on Sunday. They're going to come for 3 good judges. They're not just going to come for one or drive 1,200 miles to get there. Mm-hmm. So to me, the specialties are everything. We have always done a lot to help new show chairmen. I developed a booklet that has everything on when your dates to apply for the show, forms in there for applying, parking forms to go in their premium list. All the information for their premium list is in our package. It's updated every year. Now it's simple, you know, cut and paste. I used to type it all out, duplicate it, put it in an envelope, and mail it. Life has become
simple. Life has become much easier since you didn't have to actually, like, pound those keys.
It has been wonderful. And to be able to help people and tell them there's no dumb question, just ask. And, you know, you help people get started, and they become show chairman, and they go on to help others. That's important. I did one time put my foot down to some poor person who'd never shown a dog, and this club allowed her to volunteer to be show chairman of their specialty.
Oh, my.
Well, I refused. There are limits to what I could work with. But, and they did see the error of their ways and replaced that poor lady who had been very brave to volunteer. There are limits. But yes, going back to it, without specialties, Del Val would be just another ordinary dog show.
Okay.
The other thing I always felt was most important is the exhibitor. And for every show chairman, think about what it's like to draw up to your gate with your dogs, and how do you access the grounds? How easy is it to schlep your dogs and equipment to where you need to be? Do you have a place to groom? Do dogs who require grooming have plug-ins available? What time is your breed being shown? If it's a bulldog, it needs to be 8 o'clock. Not so good to have Newfoundlands at 1 o'clock on an outdoor ring where it's sunny. You can't always accommodate everything, but you can certainly think about it. And in outdoor rings, when you come in, where is the judge going to examine the dogs, and is he or she going to be looking into the sun all day? Where's the shade going to be? There's a lot to think about. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't foresee everything and ask, how did that go? Was that your table in the right place? And you get good input back.
And I think the think about everything is what worries me as I'm trying to do some of this.
You're an active exhibitor, so you can put the things that are important to you. I want to know in that premium list, does it tell me what gate I come in? What time can I come in? Is there security on the grounds? How is this all going to unfold? I want my questions answered. When I look at the premium list, I want to have the actual physical address looking at me to put in my GPS.
Yes. Now that we have GPS, it's so wonderful.
Yeah. So there's lots to think about. But I think if you just think of it as an exhibitor and what is good and safe for your dogs. The dogs are everything. Without them, we don't have anything. So it's not that hard. It's just good common sense. And the rest is like putting on a party. It's a party with a premium list and dogs.
I like that. A party with a premium list. We're going to remember that.
Yep. It is.
Okay, so going forward, this is, again, always we're looking at the future.
Yes.
Recommendations for other show chairs. Specific recommendations. Hi, we're in New York City. Specific recommendations for show chairs into the future in addition to what we've covered. Anything in particular that you can think of?
I think it's important for show chairmen to remember they're a volunteer coordinator and to not micromanage. You cannot run a dog show by yourself. You can't become a dynasty. I wrote a column for Dogs in Review for a year or two, and I ended every column with, okay, young people, why aren't you joining dog clubs? I got many pings on Facebook, many private messages and emails from people telling me they'd walked into the meeting of a club that was supposedly open. Not a soul said hello or welcome. When they wanted to join the club, they looked at them and wondered, ooh, are you going to try and take over this club? And when they made suggestions, the hierarchy said, oh, but we've always done it this way. Never mind that new member had attended your last dog show and saw a zillion things that could have been improved. And, you know, none of us have all the answers, and it's easy to fall into the trap, we've always done it this way. New members have to be put to work. Nobody volunteers to come and sit around. So find a job for everybody. And don't say, come on Friday and have nothing for them to do, because we're all busy and we have other things we love to do. So put people to work, And when you've been show chairman like me for 70 consecutive shows and people are telling you that there are dynasties, I had to look inward and say, well, Stenmark, you know what? I think
perhaps
you might be one of them.
Perhaps.
Which was a good thing for me, too, to hear. Mm-hmm. And I think we have rotated the jobs through Del Valle. I know Skyline has done the same. Skyline members are active throughout the 3 days. Del Valle members are active throughout the 3 days. We're now coming in for quite a few independent specialties that have chosen to go to Thursday. Mm-hmm. That seems to be working and building. And it takes a lot of effort. But I think more than anything, welcome those new members, put them to work, tell them thank you. Don't criticize, just make a suggestion. Would you consider doing it this way next year? And remember that we all do this for fun. So if joining that club, you don't feel welcome, people are not friendly, they're looking at you with suspicion, they don't come back. That's how shows and clubs die. The ones that have fun together, they keep going, because that's a hell of a lot of work. And if anybody thinks that is just going to be lightweight entertainment, they don't know they haven't been up at 5 a.m. every morning and they're the last person that leaves at night. That's exhausting.
It is. Betty Ann, thank you so very, very much. Your time is precious and I appreciate you sharing it with us.
Thank you, Laura. I'm honored to be a part of this.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.